Hello, everybody. Whoa. I think the volume's on. Welcome. They're turning it down. Thank you. This is today is a special meeting for advisory board interviews. It's Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, for our listening viewers out there in Moore Bay. And for the record, we do have quorum. Councilmember Makowetski is not present at this time. Hopefully, he'll be showing up towards the interview point of this. We will open it up for public comment in a minute for those who'd like to speak to the issues for the advisory boards. As a course of business, as we get into, we have three advisory board interviews today, the Tourism Business Improvement District, the Recreation and Parks Commission, and Harbor Advisory Board. And at this time, we only have one applicant for two vacancies for our tourism and, our Recreation and Parks. And the question is whether or not we wanted to, how we'd want to continue that, and if you have any comments on that, Dana?
Correct. Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we had one applicant for two upcoming vacancies on the Recreation and Parks Commission. That commission does not have a regular meeting in February, so it's staff recommendation that the council would authorize us to extend the application period in hopes of gathering more interest in those two vacancies and conduct interviews in February.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Do you need a motion for that, or just a...
A motion would be nice,
okay.
But everyone nodding their head works for me as well.
Motion as recommended by staff.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
With Mr. Makowetski absent. Okay, so moving on, we'll open up for public comment at this time. For anybody who'd like to speak public comment for the interviews, please come forward. We'll open it up. Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council. And we'll start off with our Tourism Business Improvement District interviews. And I'd just like to invite the applicants up to the tables right here. There's the tables and there's two microphones. Actually, we have one applicant, so we'll... invite our applicant up, and welcome. So, Mr. Clark, is that correct? Ken Clark. Welcome, Mr. Clark. Okay. So there's a button down here and a little green LED, and so if you can monitor, operate that for us, and I think we'll just start off with just a brief introduction, and then we can go through any questions that we would like to go through from the board. And if you could please start off with an introduction, that'd be great.
Well, I've got a green light, so that's good. I'm originally from North Carolina, and my daughter married someone in San Jose 11 and a half years ago. A little closer. 11 and a half years ago, and so I sold her hotels in North Carolina and moved out here and went back in the industry in Santa Cruz, and 5.5 years ago, we sold that property, and Chris Ferranti that bought the old Breakers and our competitors and friends and served on the tourism board up there together. So I ended up here this summer, and I got to tell you, I like it.
All right, well, welcome. Well, this is fairly informal, but, for some it may be comfortable, kind of this type of process, but please relax. At this point, we can just go through some brief questions.
Sure.
And just be casual and what you want to respond with. So I'll just start with Marlis at the end.
Thank you, and welcome, Mr. Clark.
Ken,
okay. Thank you for applying. I'm going to start out with a really easy one for you. What are your ideas for increasing tourism in Morro Bay?
Well, I think I need to get here and observe a little bit. I think just coming to a board and starting with ideas is a little presumptive. But I think that from what I've seen since I've been here, Jen and her staff have done an excellent job. The increasing business that she's created because of shoulder weekends to the prime season has really made a difference in the spring and in the fall. At our place, like others, we went all the way into our early November with weekends or really good business weekends.
Okay, thank you.
Great. John?
Ken, welcome, and thanks for responding and applying. We certainly appreciate that and your commitment to the community. It's great to have you aboard as part of our community as well. So my question is, from the standpoint of your historical interaction in other cities that you've been in, other boards you've served on, et cetera, from TOT Tech's standpoint, from an equality of participation standpoint, do you have a sense of or a notion about including such entities as VRBOs and the like?
Just I watched wondering. Your December 21st meeting, by the way, so or the Tourism Board 21st meeting. That's got a lot of tentacles, and it creates a lot of work for the tourism staff to chase down hundreds of individual providers, if you will, for not a lot of money. My sense is that I would want to learn a little more about it to kind of know. I know in Santa Cruz when I was on the board up there, we elected not to go for it at the time. And the city was in the process of requiring licensing and accountability to the homeowners that were leasing out their properties. And I think you're in the process of doing that too. Is that correct? Okay. So the answer may just balance out with dollars and cents. Is it worth the staff time and effort for this much money, or is it going to balance out so that it's worth it?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Red?
Hi, Ken.
Hey, Red.
What do you think is the role of TBID in event planning and coordination?
I think it's an important part of building business in town for the hotels and restaurants. And as I said a minute ago, I think Jennifer and her staff has done a good job promoting that and putting events together, because if you go look at the different events, whether it was a Margarita Festival or whether it's any of the other things that are done, and you look at occupancy rates, they go here. They soar, and so do your tax dollars. So I think that's an important part of the Tourism Board's job.
All right. Ken, hey, welcome. So you've got quite a bit of experience in the hotelier business, new to Morro Bay, and thanks for your interest in wanting to serve on the board. Can you just explain, tell me what was driving your interest to come onto the board, just in a nutshell?
I proved in North Carolina and in Santa Cruz that I like to be involved in the community I live in. I think people need to be involved, and they need to be involved in a positive way rather than just coming to a meeting and complaining about something. And I know you guys hear a lot of that. But I think it's important to become involved.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's pretty much that straightforward. I think that's one of the things I enjoyed being a Rotarian for years, is what Rotary does, not only in the communities but around the country and the world. I think that's true in other venues that I've participated in. Is that?
Oh, that's great. There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah, I think that's just great. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, thanks for applying.
Well, thank you.
And appreciate that. I think it was, like I say, a pretty casual course of interview. I know sometimes it seems awkward that, you know, we kind of go through this formality. You know, it's televised and everything, but it's kind of the way we do it. And, you know, at this point, we've got... we'll go ahead and fill out this form for Dana, and we'll pass it to Dana, and she'll read out, you know, the votes. And we have one applicant, and we have one person we want to select, so we'll go through that. It's pretty simple.
Hey, if you don't vote for me, I'm going to feel really bad being the only one.
Thanks, yeah.
Thank you for making it simple. The council voted unanimously to appoint Mr. Clark to fill a current vacancy on the T-bid for a term ending January 31st, 2021. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Ken. We have names on them. We have to get them back. Dana's got us all connected. So at this point, we'll move on to our Harvard Advisory Board interview. And we have four applicants. We have Gene Dowdy, Shalei, pardon me if I don't pronounce this right, Considine, and then Cherise Hansen and Lynn Meissen. If you can come on up, we welcome. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, Lynn and Gene, come on up.
I don't see Sheila here.
Sheila? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Well, welcome, everyone. I know Gene's a pro at this. He's been doing it for a long time, and the interviews come and go, but he keeps doing it, so appreciate that. And like I said earlier, you know, just very informal and be comfortable, and we'll go through. And I am pushing my button. Can you not hear me? Okay. Hey, AGP, if you could turn that up a little bit, please. Gene's telling me what, you know, I'm not vocal enough here. If you can hear that, turn me up. That'd be great, and I'll try to speak into the microphone a little bit better.
I thought he said you were pushing his buttons.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, it's a good way to start. Real simply, just welcome once again for applying. We have two vacancies, so we'll kind of go through the same process we did earlier. And I'll start with Gene, and then Lynn, and then Cherise. And I'll just say, you know, ask Gene just to make a brief introduction, and then we'll go through just brief questions. And please be comfortable.
Council members, Mayor, Gene Dowdy, currently sit on the Harvard Advisory Board. I've been on it for quite a few years. I have a small company here on the Embarcadero, or really in the south part of the Embarcadero, called Lancy Interface. I'm an architect, an engineering contractor. I maintain most of the moorings in the bay, and I've been doing it for 40 years. And I have several projects that have been completed on the bay and are in the works of being completed on the bay. I sit on several ad hoc committees at this time, the Eelgrass Committee, with Lynn as the chairperson, and then Working Waterfront, where I'm the chairperson. And I'm proud to be part of the Harbor Advisory Board. I think every person needs to commit back to the community, and I'm proud to be doing what I've been doing. So I'm glad to have answer any questions.
All right, Gene. Thanks. Lynn? You can pull that up a little bit. Gene, before Gene, you know, yells at you for not having the microphone up again.
Thank you for inviting me and allowing me to participate on the board in the past, and I would hope to continue to do that. I am on the committee for Eelgrass. I would very much like to see the end of that and a policy eventually being written on that subject that we have been working on for more than a year. My background, I sailed into the bay in 1994. I've been a liveaboard on the bay since then, so my interest is very much watching what goes on and being able to participate and at times render an opinion that may be somewhat unique from the vantage point of being out there in the middle of the water. I would like to think that I am contributing to my community, as the others have mentioned here. Being a good citizen involves knowing something about your community and contributing in some way. And this is one way that I enjoy, and I hope that I will be allowed to serve in the future.
All right, Lynn, thank you. You literally sailed into town. Welcome, Charisse. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself. Thanks. Introduction. Is the green light on? Shh. Not really. Here, Jean can... Come on up on the... Sit next to Lynn and roll around to Lynn and borrow her microphone. We can do that. And it doesn't matter. Either way you want to do it. You and Lynn can squeeze in next to each other.
All right, there we go. I can see the green now. Hi, my name is Charisse Hansen. I am the owner of Under the Sea Gallery in Morro Bay for 18 years. I've lived on my boat. I did that for about a year and a half, and then a couple years after, sold it. So 18 years, retail shop. I have three smaller children one's 12 now. It's going by so fast. They all attend the different schools in the community. We spend a lot of time on the water, enjoying the water, and I want to make sure that anything that does, any say that I can have into it, makes the bay sustainable. But I also come from the tourism aspect of it and the business aspect of it, where we have a beautiful place here, and there's parts that we need to monetize, but we need to do it in a sustainable way. So I want to bring the ability to have the waterfront make money, increase in tourism, but also maintain its beauty and the uniqueness that Morro Bay has for generations to come. I went to school for marine biology and zoology. I have a minor in environmental ethics, which I attended a lot of watershed conferences for the EPA. That was my main concern. And then also I did a docent training course that I created that taught younger children, ages 5 through 11, different intertidal knowledgeable course called the Splash Zone at the History Museum in Humboldt County. That's a little bit about me. And I do have a great interest in like the litter and parking and other aspects that are on the land side, but also a great appreciation for what we're going to use on the water side. So they both have their parts.
All right, Therese, great. Thank you. And welcome, Matt. All right, good. And so we'll just start off with some questions, and we'll continue to just start with Marlis and work this way, and maybe we'd start our first question for Lynn, and then we'll have the same question. We'll go to Charisse and then Jean. Go ahead and lead us off, if you will, Marlis. Thanks.
Okay.
I think that microphone's working now, Lynn. Lynn, I think he got that microphone. Either way. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, so what would you see as the major issues or challenges facing the Harbor Board right now, the Harbor Advisory Board, or the Harbor generally?
Oh, some of the topics that we have been working on, I think the working waterfront is a really important one, especially with the new bill that, HR? But for the potential for grants and having that help with infrastructure on the bay, which we know is enormously expensive, and especially with so many regulations that you have to abide by in order to do anything, whether it's a public job or something from the private area. It's really important that we keep our fishermen working, that we keep businesses that are on the bay, that need to be on the bay, and not allow that simply whoever has the most money to come in and do what they want. I really support the fishermen, and I know they have a hard time, and I think the working waterfront policy will help that a good bit. Now, that's a very long-term goal, of course. The eelgrass committee that we're on and that we're trying to formulate a policy for is important for the ecology of the bay, to keep it healthy, to keep it from being polluted, to keep the marine life alive and active. The finances, of course, are always important. There's another committee that's working on finances and infrastructure and how to manage that. So there's a whole lot that we're dealing with on the Harbor Advisory Board, and I would like to be able to render an opinion on those.
Thank you very much.
Same question for
same question. What do you see as the major issues or challenges facing both the Harbor Board and the harbor itself?
Morro Bay is unique. It's a harbor. There's just very few of those up and down the coastline. It's not a commodity that you keep making more and more of. That's all we have is our waterfront, and there's not going to be any more waterfront. What we do on our working waterfront is to ensure that we continue having a vibrant waterfront with people who work all the time on the water. That's, to me, one of the paramount things we need to do. And that includes the fishermen, the people who run the shops. We need to have activities that promote, I hate to say tourism. I'm going to go off subject a little bit, but tourism needs to be tempered, I think. We don't really want to become a tourist trap. We need to tourism destroys the culture and heritage of an area. We need to maintain our heritage. One of the thoughts that I've had, and I know it's been expressed by other people, is to have something that maybe only one weekend a month is just for people of Morro Bay. There are no big events. That would be kind of nice. It would be nice to have the people who live in Morro Bay come down to the Embarcadero. How many people you know in Morro Bay never go down to the Embarcadero on the weekend because it's not possible. So maybe one day a week is Morro Bay for the Morro Bayans. I mean, just I'm going off subject a little bit, but I think that that's important, because you don't want to lose your character and your heritage. And I can see this going the wrong way. The fishery people, we've got to continue having a substantial fishery. And whatever that takes to continue that is probably second in most my mind.
Thank you very much. Cherise.
Okay. From my standpoint, I think that one of the important aspects is the appreciation of the bay. The entire waterfront is a city leased property based on the fact that it's supposed to be accessible to the public. And so there are quite a few new developments that are going to be taking place, and I feel intrinsically that they need to be designed to promote that enjoyment of the bay, to be on the bay, to be on the water. Some of my favorite places to visit are the ones that have these just nice big harbor walks that you just, you know, and then you are, the places are recessed behind that. So you get to be on the water, be on the beach, be on the walkway, and have that public access. I think that we've been moving in that direction already with having all of the new developments have the walkway put in front of it, and I want to see that go the entire way, because I want it to be a reason for people to come to Morro Bay. Oh, let's do the walk. And then also the other important aspect is making sure that all the uses for the bay are sustainable, and so they aren't polluting. Another part on the land version is the way that we take care of our waste and how the retail or the restaurants are disposing of their waste, so it is a clean environment for everybody to enjoy.
Thank you.
John?
Thank you all for applying and welcome. I appreciate you being here today. I had the great opportunity and during the Christmas holiday to visit Lake Tahoe, one of my favorite spots besides Morro Bay. And the lake is one of the few so-called eutectic lakes in the United States. And not to make you all chemists, but the issue is that a eutectic solution has to be absolutely pure in order to have two liquids homogeneously mixed together. And the reason that only happens in Lake Tahoe is because of the purity and the lack of pollution in the lake. And I'm thinking about Morro Bay in the bay, which is not a lake but is ocean water. But there are a number of issues that contribute to the inability of Morro Bay to be a eutectic kind of water. And so I know that's a rather broad scientific question, but the question is this. Lake Tahoe has implemented a number of policies to preserve the eutectic nature of the lake. My question is for you, how can we and what policies do you think would be important for Morro Bay to address to preserve and to try to enhance the natural pure nature of the bay to keep it ecologically sound?
I guess we have to, John, you want to just select how you want to go through the order? I'll do that if you want.
Gene, go ahead.
Yeah.
You start. I think we just go around clockwise maybe, or counterclockwise.
Dealing with pollution, well, there was the nitrate problem from the South Bay, which I represent or have been representing. But with the new sewer line going in, it'll be interesting to see whether those nitrates actually go down. Historically, up and down the whole coastline, all the coastal cities have had high nitrates, even cities with sewer lines. So it'll be curious to see whether our nitrates in the Back Bay actually go down. I would keep the mint colony to task to make sure that they don't have any pollution coming down out of their sewage plant. And then in the city of Morro Bay itself, all new projects that are being designed and built on the Embarcadero have to have filtration systems for their on-site water disposal. So any rainwater that comes off of buildings or streets have to go through a substantial filtration system that are now being included in the regulations. So that's all good. And then the eelgrass. We've got to do whatever we can to encourage eelgrass because that's one of the most important parts of our ecological system.
Thank you. Charisse.
As far as I would need to do a little bit more research, but a lot of the pollution that we might experience in the bay has to do with runoff. And that would be policies that would be created for different lands, farmlands, or waste treatment centers. I know that you guys have dealt with where to put the waste treatment center, and everybody says right by the ocean because when it goes out, you just throw it into the ocean. All of the things that are being put in place for new developments sound like they're going to try and keep with working towards a non-polluted ocean, and so any policies that could be put in place for those coming in. I do feel that maybe there's some things that we can discuss as far as like the bay itself, and that is how liveaboards get rid of their waste and the treatment center that they have there. That could be a possible. When I lived on my boat, I don't know what it's like now, but it wasn't as accessible as it could have been. And so if there's anything that we could do to make that a better situation. And then just keeping the eelgrass and the ecology so we have a good ecosystem that's taking their part in the flora and fauna necessary for the Bay.
Thank you.
In addition to what they've said, and I totally agree with that, I think public education is of primary importance, that we really need to make people aware of all of the plastic that ends up in the Bay, in the ocean, in the Great Pacific Gyre, that people need to be very aware of that and pick up the bags and put them in the trash, covered trash containers. But people, individuals, can help. It's a very small help, but when we put it all together, I think it's of supreme importance to educate the public and make them aware of that, so that they will, each and every one of us, do something about it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Matt?
Well, yes, I have a question, and let me see. Charisse, you went first, so I guess, Lynn, this is going to be for you. In terms of, I think it's wonderful that all three of you are here in terms of what you represent in terms of your different parts of the city, so it's kind of very interesting to be asking. I can't wait to hear your answer on this. Understanding that this is for the Harbor Advisory Board, how can the Harbor Advisory Board help with the other zones of the city to create a seamless city, if you will? And this is for you first.
We have one city that is...
Her mic?
It's on.
Just if she can get it closer.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We have one city with one heart. The emblem behind you says what that heart is. It's the Embarcadero. It's the Bay. It's why most people end up coming here. How we can influence other parts of the city. Ooh. I guess through the activities that start out around the waterfront, but then reach out into the public, the entire public of the city. Those activities on the Bay, the kite flying, the other things that we do that invite public participation, that bring us all together around the waterfront. I think those activities are the ones that we need to support and encourage.
I'm going to go back to my 1 week and a month for the city of Morro Bay. And, you know, I'd love to see the people who live upland come down to the Embarcadero. You just don't see it anymore. One of the things that we can do more of that we're not doing is have more interactions in our Harbor Advisory Board with the other advisory boards. Right now, we're going to have a joint meeting tomorrow with the Planning Commission, and I would probably like to tie in with the Tourism Board, tie in with the Recreation Board. We haven't done that, and I think that's probably a good idea.
Okay, so one of it would be the Parks and Recreation, something that I think we have a good bond with already, as far as with Angelica, with like the kids club, the students, the children, they come down, they enjoy themselves down at the water, especially during the summer months. It is a tough question, but there's other avenues to try and make us want to be a part of that. So if there was anything, if I were on the board, I would always have all the different aspects to that I come with, of a mom, of a person who lives here, of a person who has a shop here. Those different aspects of being part of a city, I would use in all of the areas to try and get them to work together, to work harmoniously with all of the different aspects of the community. But yes, the Embarcadero is my center. And so I think that as far as bringing them all into it, it is part of it. And I would do my best to make sure that I didn't forget anyone from any facet of the community that would need their voice heard within that advisory board.
Thank you all. This is great listening to your ideas. Let me start with Charisse. What is the value to Morro Bay of a public aquarium?
Pretty much everything that means a lot to me. When I went to school for marine biology, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to educate our younger generation, our middle generation, our older generation, every generation, and anybody who would listen, just how amazing our asset is of the ocean, and what the new museum aquarium hopefully would present, especially if it has the Cal Poly behind it, would be an educational aspect, not just a retail aspect of, hey, pay to see an animal. We want to educate them. If you go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, they discuss a lot of sustainable manners in which to use what the ocean provides for us. And so it has a great part in my heart of what I would like to see achieved personally in my community as well. So an aquarium that has an educational base would be amazing, in my opinion, and especially for my children and for the sustainability of this area. As far as retail, it would clearly bring more tourism and visitors, which would only benefit me personally. And then we would also try and be part of making sure that that happens in a way that doesn't overwhelm Morro Bay. So it's not an absolute vital thing, but it was something that I would absolutely support and want to be a part of in making that a final viable business down there, educationally speaking.
Thanks. Jean?
The Morro Bay Aquarium has been around for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, a long, long time, with Dean Tyler and Bertha. It's been a go-to place for thousands and thousands of school kids and their parents and the visitors to Morro Bay. The new proposed aquarium, I think, is in the wrong location. And I've been involved with several conceptual designs for the new aquarium at that location, both with Dean and the new committee. And to get what they want, I just don't think there's enough room. Even if you expand out into the street, there's three components in a successful aquarium, because I've done a research with designing one years ago. There's the education component, there's the research component, and the observation component. And to do all three of those, I frankly don't think there's enough room to get it all done at that location. Where are you going to park a school bus when you unload all those kids? There's just no parking for it. I think that the location really needs to be on the north end of the bay, someplace up that way. But I think it's a great idea. I would love to see, you know, a modernized aquarium. It's a good draw for the people. It's one of my lifelong dreams to design and build one, but that's up for somebody else. So that's it.
Thanks. Lynn?
An aquarium fits into this community.
Lynn, can you draw your mic in a little bit closer? Thank you. Thanks.
The aquarium fits into this community like a hand in a glove. We really need one. It is educational. It's entertainment as well. People come down. They want to be entertained. They need to have things to do. Going to the Natural History Museum, going to the aquarium, as well as going kayaking or onto the sand spit, are what we offer for tourism, for tourists to do. The educational component is invaluable for children and for the adults who come in and their eyes are open to what you know is in the water and out in the bay but cannot see or can't get close to. So the venue, the current location is really small, but we could hope that maybe it could be expanded somehow. But the aquarium is vital to this community.
Thanks, Red. I was going to start my question with Charisse first, because I think it's the same question, but maybe worded a little bit differently for everybody. But what is the one thing that, when you thought of applying for the Harbor Advisory Board, what was one particular thing that you wanted to bring to the Harbor Advisory Board?
One thing. When I first saw the notice of what was the position that was opening, I started thinking about all of the things that are important to me that I could have an opinion on. And as far as everything that's part of the Harbor Advisory Board, I have ideas that I've already thought about in the last 18 years being here. And so I just feel that I have a lot of ideas, and I have the ability to do a lot of research and at least add some different interpretations from my standpoint, as well as new innovative ways of dealing with some of the issues that arise that we're requested to speak on. I just feel that of all of the different parts of what the Harbor Advisory Board does, that's kind of tailor-made for all of the thoughts that just happen and parts that I want to be a part of. And I definitely don't want to be the one complaining about something. I want to do something for it and be a part of the solution, not of the problem. And it's hard because she's so nice, too, and I don't want to compete. But can we all just be on the board together? So thank you for allowing me to be here to have my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, Charisse. So, Jean, same question. Word a little bit differently because you've been on the board as well as Lynn. So I guess the question might be, what one thing have you thought about for the next term, if you will, as an advisory board member?
Well, I'm glad you limited it to a term.
One term at a time, right?
Yeah. I was recommended or appointed by Bill Coy to serve for the South Bay, to represent South Bay area for the Harbor Advisory Board. That has been my goal, and I would strive to do more of that. Right now, I communicate with a lot of my neighbors. I get phone calls, emails all the time from people in the South Bay who like to know what's going on in Morro Bay besides what they read in the paper or hear on the waterfront. My goal right now would be to encourage more of that representation to the people in South Bay, and that's my goal for this next year.
Okay, great. Thanks. Lynn, same question as Jean's, essentially, since you've been on the board as well for quite a while. What is it that you would envision? And you've participated on a lot of different things, and you've expressed some of the eelgrass issue as well. But as you thought about reapplying again for the position, is there one thing that you thought of that you wanted to to see through, or as a you know, for the next term?
I would like to see the eelgrass thing through and get it done. I would like to see
your mic, Lynn. Sorry.
I would like to see the eelgrass policy get written and approved and included in city policy. I would like to see the marine haul out yard, which I don't think I will, but I would love to have my boat hauled out in Morro Bay.
All right. Thank you all. Was there any follow-up or from anyone? Okay. We'll go ahead and cast the proxy. And Dana?
I just wanted, maybe for the community's benefit, to explain that there are two current vacancies. One is for a representative of the South Bay Los Osos area, and Mr. Dowdy has applied for that position. The second vacancy is for a member at large, and Ms. Meissen and Ms. Hansen have applied for that position.
So for the instructions, then, mm-hmm. there's virtually one applicant for the South Bay, which
Correct.
Would be Jean, and then it would be Charisse and Lynn for the other at-large applicant that we would select on according to the ballot that you've handed us.
Correct.
Okay. Then we'll fill that out and hand it in to you. Okay. All right.
Do we know what did Ms. Considine call or indicate why she? Okay.
Not
didn't withdraw. We don't know if she's withdrawn. Thank
I don't
you.
Know.
All right, thanks. We'll fill this out and hand it to Dana. You're welcome to stay there or... All right.
Okay, for a representative of the South Bay and Los Osos area, the council voted unanimously to appoint Mr. Dowdy to fill that four-year term ending January of 2022. For the member-at-large position, Council Member Heading voted for Charisse Hansen, Council Member McPherson voted for Lynn Meissen, Council Member Davis voted for Lynn Meissen, Mayor Irons voted for Lynn Meissen, and Councilmember Makowetsky voted for Lynn Meissen. So, Lynn, you've been appointed to fill a four-year term ending January 2022.
Thank Great, you. And thanks, everyone, for applying. And as we do interviews, we would like to always encourage folks to apply for any other positions that might come up. With that, unless there's any closing comments from council, we would adjourn the meeting.
Just want to thank everybody for coming out and being part of the community. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Marlis?
Well, I just wanted to say that it's really always worth reapplying. It's you never know how many people are going to apply and who's going to apply. So I would really encourage you, if you're interested, to apply again.
Anybody else? All right. Okay. Thanks very much. Meeting adjourned.